Welcome back to Kicking It Back. Today is Monday, October 18th. I killed the date. I was prepared. You didn't think I was.
I mean, I feel like every single week you're like, all right, it's whatever though. We just roll with
it. Learn from your mistakes, baby. Learn from your mistakes.
It's fair. Browns.
I don't want to talk about it. We suck, man. That was painful. That was the most painful Browns game I've watched in like over 2 years.
Yeah, that was like that was rough. There's no way around that.
Yeah. My uncle from Arizona, he was, you know, sending a little trash. He's like, I feel like we need to put a little wager on it. I'm like, you know, I'm in. Come on. So I bet on the Brownies, of course. Never bet on the Browns. If Tom Coles honestly taught me anything, never bet on the Browns. But bet on the Browns. Now I'm sending him a pizza, a large something from some place out there. Grimaldi's, I don't know, in Arizona. If you're in Arizona, check it out. Whatever.
I like that. But, what was he going to send you?
He was going to send me a pizza. we bought a pizza on it. It was something
like
dumb,
that.
But
I like that. How do you come up with that? That's like not.
I don't know. He just said, I'll bet you a pizza. I said, deal.
Awesome. You think that's what he bets with his friends? Like we do dollar bets. He's like, pizza?
I throw a large Grimaldi's Brooklyn Deluxe.
That's what he bets with the boys. I mean, dude, it's different. I like it.
Yeah, but fantasy teams lost again. I did the over again. I've done that twice now this year where I have not got a win in any of the fantasy leagues or the Browns and Buckeyes. Buckeyes were on a bye, but you know.
Yeah. Cincinnati, though, two in the country, right?
Yeah, go Bearcats. All I want in life, quote this, put this in social media, stir the pot at the Cincinnati Barstool. I don't care if the Buckeyes make the bowl game, like if we make it to the Final Four, or if we just make it to a random bowl game, but I want to play Cincinnati and I want to show them what's up. And like, we're bad. We're in a down year. Like the Buckeyes are in a down year. I'll be the first to admit it. We'd kill you guys.
I think so too, but like, I'm happy for them. I'm going to let them have their moment. Like those Cincy kids are eating this up. Like it's like Christmas every Saturday for them.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's good for Cincinnati. The quarterback, Ritter, I heard he's great. I haven't really watched much. I know Dan's into Cincy. Dan acts like he's like, oh, like he wants Cincy to fail, you know, the rivalry with Dan. Yeah. No, Dan's rooting for Cincy. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah.
If you're listening, Anna, come on. He's rooting for Cincy. But yeah, I don't know. I want him to do good, but I want to play him. I want to just like, come on. Like, but you know what happened? We'd win a close one and they'd be like, oh, we should have won that, blah, blah, blah. And then it'd be like, okay.
Yeah, unless we blow him up by 40.
Oh, that would be freaking awesome. Figure out the scenario. So if they're two, we would need to get up to three. What do we do? I don't know. Whatever. We just need to get to three. Bama needs to lose again. We need to hop. Oklahoma, if Oklahoma and Bama lose. And since he's two,
Bama losing again.
They play Georgia, apparently, who's the number one team. So if they lose to Georgia.
Okay. Bama falls. Georgia's legit.
We get in.
Yeah.
Get into three. Cincinnati, Ohio State. I mean, talk about TV. That would blow up.
Yeah, no, that'd be huge. Well, that'd be huge for Ohio.
I think people would be into the narrative though. Like it's like the David versus Goliath kind of thing. I think they could run with that.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely could. The ratings in Ohio that day would be like insane.
Yeah, you're right. But like, I don't know. Like, let's be honest. Like, I'm not trying to out of no disrespect. But majority of the guys that went to Cincinnati would be playing with the grudge because odds are they didn't get offers from Ohio State or they weren't good enough to go to Ohio State. Like, I'm not trying to like disrespect them in any way. They're way more athletic. They're way better than me. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, if you were an Ohio kid, your dreams to grow up and go play for Ohio State. Are you? I don't know. Just a thought.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. Well, we got an interesting episode today. Had some fun. Good interview.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really good. Excited for everyone to hear it.
Tell us what we got.
We got another businesswoman coming on the show. She's going to talk a little bit about real estate. She started from nothing, you know, bills stacking up, deciding between water, feeding her kid. Really cool story. Hopefully everyone enjoys. But before we go on to that, I just want to say thank you to everyone that bought some merch. Super cool. Really successful merch drop.
For sure. Those underrated hoodies, I'm telling you, everyone's going to love them. They're badass. Steve's going to kill it. Shout out Steve, especially. I mean, Steve's just our guy. I mean, he's always on it.
For sure.
So hopefully Kicking It Back blows up one day and we can just like, you know, Steve will do it with Steve. We'll just show up at his house with like a bucket of cash, a Tesla. Wouldn't that be the story? Just you show up.
Yeah.
he's pressing hoodies down in his basement for us. I would love that. Little Steve will do it. We got a Tesla for him.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah. But yeah, good interview. Great interview. I was excited. This is the first time I met Christina. So I was excited to hop on, learn a little bit from her, you know, about her, all that. And then we invited on some guests for the over under. Stay tuned for that. We won't spoil. It was really random, but you know, it was a fun time. So yeah, it was a good episode.
Yeah, for sure.
Should we roll into it?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Welcome, Christina. All right. And welcoming onto the show, we got a real estate guru and a badass businesswoman, Christina Tamas. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're great. We're so excited to have you on.
Yeah. Super thrilled. Excited to actually meet you. I mean, this is the first time I've ever talked with you, so I'm excited to kind of pick your brain a little bit, but you know, we're excited.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited. So yeah, ready to go get going.
Have you ever done a podcast before?
I have. I've done a few before.
Nice. Nice. All right. Well, what's your story? Where'd you go to college?
So my story is I actually went to a few different colleges, but never graduated. When I was going through the college process, I had no clue what I wanted to do. So I changed my major several times. Went to Bowling Green for a year, came back home, and went to CSU for a couple years, and then went to Tri-C and literally just could never figure out what I want to do. Got discouraged, had a lot of student debt, and decided, you know what, forget this, I'm just going to work. So I did, I worked my ass off actually. And, you know, funny thing is I was always told because I didn't have a college degree that I really wouldn't amount to anything. And so I continued on. I worked a corporate job for about 11 years, the same corporate job. And I loved where I worked. I loved what I did, but I always knew there was more, you know, more than, oh, hey, I have to request off or, you know, getting a very minimal raise every year, that kind of thing. And I had my daughter. And so when she was about a year old, I got pretty frustrated with working a desk job, nine to five kind of thing. And I wanted to see her more. And so I looked at my boss the one day and I was like, hey, I'm putting in my 2 weeks. And he goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to go into real estate. And he's like, seriously? Okay. So I left. I mean, literally worked my 2 weeks and left. And I'd already started dabbling in real estate a couple months prior, but I decided that I was going to go all in, get my real estate license, was able to do that within about 3 weeks and take my test. And then I jumped completely all in. And it's pretty crazy. So I've been doing this for about 5.5 years, and thinking back to where I was then versus now is insane. And you know, just you hear these crazy stories about people quitting their jobs and, you know, going and doing crazy things. And now as I'm sitting here talking about it, I feel like I'm one of those crazy people, but I wouldn't change it for anything in the world. Like, I'm so happy I did what I did. I just knew that there was, you know, I wanted the, not just the financial freedom, but the time freedom. You know, I've got two little kids now, and it's like, I can't imagine working a 9-to-5 job, you know, where like if my kid gets sick and I have to be home with them, I can't imagine having to call off or say, oh, hey, can I have, you know, can I come in late 2 hours because I want to go and do this thing with my kid's school? Like, I cannot imagine doing that. Right now I'm in complete control of my schedule and my life and how much money I make and all of that. I could never go back to, you know, the opposite. So yeah,
it's crazy to think of where you started to where you are now, and we'll dive into exactly where you're at now. But Jarrett and I always talk on this, like we hate the idea of college. Honestly, we're both in school still at Ohio State, but just the fact that we're going through school just to like try to get a desk job one day, it's terrible for us, but we're doing it because we're like, we're almost done. We're literally months away from being done, So I wanted to have you on because honestly, you're doing the route that I want to do because I definitely don't want a desk job. There's no way I can't do it. Sitting there in the internship this summer, I was like, this is horrible. Like, it's great. Love the job, but this is horrible sitting here just all day. Terrible. So Are you a realtor? What are you now?
So I am a full-time investor. So I still hold my license. I don't do too much with it. If family comes to me and they want to buy a house or sell a house, that's different. I'll do that. Or if I have my own flips to list, I'll list those. But other than that, I don't do anything on the realtor side. So I am a full-time investor. And what that basically means is I buy properties to hold them and rent them out. Or I buy properties to fix them up, flip them, and sell them for a profit. I also do some wholesaling, which is basically finding properties and connecting end buyers to those properties for a fee. And then I also am a real estate coach. So I do have students that I coach on how to get in, started into investing, as well as scaling their business. So whether it's somebody that's brand new or somebody that's been in the business for years, I teach them how to scale their business, how to grow and all of that. So those are, I wear a lot of hats, but it's all surrounded by real estate for sure.
That's awesome. Now, if I could take a step back real fast, because I'm kind of just like picking people's brains, especially someone like yourself, who's, kind of that motivation driven kind of person. I think Preston and I see ourselves in a lot of that kind of aspect of what you're doing. So you said you worked a desk job for 11 years. You said, you liked what you were doing. It was great. You never thought, you didn't know what was next. And then you had your daughter, you're 1 year old. You're like, all right, now it's time for a change. Was that an easy change to be able to make with having your daughter? Like, was that the fire that was inside of you, or did that make it even harder? Like, oh man, if this doesn't work out, now I'm screwing, I'm hurting not only myself, but someone else. So just kind of curious on your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, honestly, I was always scrutinized a lot for all of the decisions I made because I was a very non-traditional person. And, I come from friends and family that are very traditional. Like, you go to college, you get a job, you work that job, and that's it. Like, you literally go through the motions. So, I always knew that I had a totally different mindset than anybody that I hung out with or any of my family. But I always thought that my mindset was wrong because that was kind of what, I was surrounded by. And, so with my daughter, I wanted more than anything to spend more time with her, but I also wanted to give her more. So just to kind of dive a little bit deeper into what really made this change and like how I felt about it. So I didn't have any money, literally no money at all. My bank account was overdrawn every single month. My utilities were shut off on me. I couldn't afford anything. And trust me, there were some times where I had to literally fight with myself. Okay, do I pay this bill or do I put food on the table for my daughter? Like, it was that bad. And
that's awesome.
When I
say that's awesome, crazy. That's not awesome that like that was your situation, but it's awesome to see like where you are now.
Yeah, no, thank you. It is crazy. And I tell that story not to like be like, oh, woe is me or anything. But I work with a lot of people that are in that same kind of situation and think they'll never change. And, I took a huge leap of faith with quitting my job where I was making money, no matter what, I always made the money, right? And the career that I switched to, it's like, no, you have to work in order to make the money. Like, the money just doesn't come, like you're not making an hourly rate. But the thing is, as time went on, my expenses grew, but my paycheck didn't grow, And so it was like, okay, well, I'm literally working to pay my daughter's childcare, which is insane to me. And childcare is very, very expensive. And so it was kind of like, it's a do or die moment. Like, I'm either going to make this decision. And I was 27 at that time, I think. I was 27, I think. I had to like do it right then and there, or it's never going to happen. And so I did it. Like, I mean, it was, I literally one night said, I'm going in tomorrow and putting in my 2 weeks. Like, that's it. Like, there was no more, oh, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, you know, because I had done that for so long that I was wasting more and more time. I had the opportunity to do what I'm doing like months and months prior to when I actually started doing it. And I wish I would have. I saw what people were making. Like the, I literally saw the money that they were bringing in from what they were doing with investing. And I mean, it was just, it was crazy to me. I was like, I can't believe somebody makes that in a month. Like, I don't even really, like, that would take me 6 months to make, you know? So, so in a way it was a no brainer that I needed to do it, but it was so freaking scary because yes, I had this, I mean, I was responsible for another life. It wasn't just me. Like, it wasn't just me being crazy and being like, oh, I can just go and do whatever I want and it doesn't affect anybody else. No, it absolutely affected her. And, you know, it was a struggle when I first started because you're trying to build your brand, your business and all of that. And I didn't have money to begin. Like, I literally took my savings in order to do this. And people told me, oh, well, in real estate, you won't make money for 6 months. Well, I tried to do the traditional real estate route and they sure as hell were right. Now, if I would have jumped all in and done what I initially thought I was going to do with investing, I would have started making money sooner than that. But you know, you live and you learn. So,
Do you think that's your biggest regret was going the traditional, like being a realtor route? Or do you think you like, you learned from that and then it made you better at what you do now?
I definitely think I learned from it. And I don't necessarily think it made me better because I was a realtor first. I think it put things into perspective. Like, okay, you know, and I'm not knocking one business or over another, but this is for me personally, like, the amount of time, effort, work that you put into being a traditional real estate agent for the amount of money that you make is, it's very little. Now, if I was one of those people selling million-dollar houses, totally different, but I'm not that kind of person. That's not, I've never had the desire to do that. Yes, they make great money, but you know, when you're selling, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 houses, like you are doing a lot of work for very little compared to what I make now with investing. You know, it's crazy what the difference is. You know, there, you don't put as much, you know, time into paperwork and stuff like that. You know, you're putting your time and your effort into getting more leads, getting more money coming in. Whereas with traditional real estate, there's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of like, there's a lot of fluff to it. So, and that's, you know, again, that's my business model. I'm not knocking anybody else. There are people that do amazing in traditional real estate. And I just, you know, that was never for me. So.
Right. Do you ever look back at like, I don't know, maybe when you were 18 and just think if you didn't go the college route or anything like that, what your life would look like if you jumped right into wholesaling or investing or anything like that?
All the time, literally all the time. So, when I was 18, you know, again, the thing, and especially back then, like the thing was everybody goes to college. Like it was very, very rare if you knew somebody that didn't go to college. And so, you know, I grew up, I went to a private grade school. I went to a private high school and that was the thing. Every single person went to college and I grew up in a family. That's what you do. So, you know, unfortunately, like it was already predetermined, I had to go to college. But again, like in my mind, I was like, I don't know what I want to do. Like, I like taking pictures. Maybe I'll go into photography. And then I started taking the classes and I was like, oh God, no, this is so not what I want to do. I'd rather just take pictures when it's fun. But if I would have had at least some other direction where somebody said, it's okay to think like this, or it's okay to want to, you know, go off and start your own business, that I think that would have made all the difference in the world. You know, but it wasn't, again, that wasn't common back then. Like you didn't at 18 go and start a business. So, you know, and then as I got older and I started surrounding myself with people that actually did run businesses, you know, and very successful businesses, it was like, oh, well, shit, this is actually the norm for some people. And so I think, honestly, I don't, again, I don't regret, you know, going to college or anything. I think it gave me kind of that life experience. Like I said, I went away to college for 1 year. So like, I know there are some people that never experienced that. And they're like, oh, I wish I would have experienced what it's like to go away and stay on a college campus. So I did get to experience it. Again, it's not me whatsoever. But, you know, at least I had those life experiences. I can speak from them, you know, and I tell my kids all the time, like, you get to decide what you want to do when you grow up. You can go to college. You can, you know, go into real estate. You can be a doctor. You can do whatever you want. And I explain to them now, like, all right, if you want to do, you know, if you want to be a doctor or a teacher or whatever, then yes, you have to go to college. Like, let's face it, you're not going to be able to get a job in that if you don't. But you want to run a business or you want to take over one of the family businesses, then that's a different story. Let's train you how to do that, you know? And kind of to your point, you know, kind of going through the motions of college because you have to, the one thing that drove me nuts is I had an idea of what I wanted to do in college, but you have to do all these fluff classes. Like you have to do all these mandatory classes that have nothing to do with what the end result is. So, you know, that's why I like trade schools and stuff like that, where they get right to the point like that. It's genius.
Definitely.
So yeah.
Definitely. There's those fluff classes, I think, are why I have the impression I have on college. The first 2 years, you know, I'm paying for college myself, all this, you know, I'm spending my own money and I'm learning about the history of art and I'm learning, you know, photography and, you know, a class called cancer prevention. Like, so it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, what am I really investing, you know, into myself right here? It's like, you know, they always say it's an investment. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. So I always wonder like when like the first 2 year institution is going to come out where you take those, you know, business class. So say if you're a business person, I'm a finance major. When am I going to just 2 years? It's going to be looked at just as highly. You know, it's 2 years of just business. You figure out, you know what I mean? You figure out maybe like you just said, you get that experience, that exposure, and then you move forward with your life. Like I'm waiting for when someone comes out with that gets respected, you know.
Why don't you do it? Why don't you start that?
You easily could, but the biggest thing is you need to have that belief the that it's, you know, exactly. Yeah. That's the word I was just about to use. The credibility of people like actually trusting, you know, a student that went to a 2 year institution like that, that learned all those same things. Cause in reality, like the history of art's not going to make me a better finance, you know, person in the business world. It's just the harsh reality of it. So I always wonder that, but I do like those points you made about the whole college perspective.
Yes. I can't remember who I was talking to, but it was recently. And they said they literally had one credit left in order to graduate. And she was like, all the credits were already taken up because, you know, people had already scheduled their classes. She ended up taking a course on dinosaurs. And like, like it wasn't like the history of dinosaurs, it was literally just like, what kind of dinosaurs were they? Like, she just told me it was the most ridiculous class.
Why is that a
but
class?
She had to fill her schedule. Yeah. I'm like, so you had to waste your time to fill your schedule just because of rules. Like, it just, that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
Yeah, like,
And that's why I don't work in corporate America.
Right. One of our friends is taking a history of chocolate class. He was telling me he had to make chocolate today. Like, why is that a class at the credible The Ohio State University? Like, why is that a
thing? And you pay for it.
Right. You're paying like $800 to $1,000 for that class.
That's insane.
I have another buddy who's in a jogging class. He Snapchatted me the one day and he was sweating. And I was like, oh, getting a good workout in? He's like, no, I'm in a jogging class. I don't know what they learn how to jog, apparently. Not quite sure. But so, yeah, there's some funny classes out there.
Yes, there are for sure.
Christina, can we touch on the coaching side of what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've had a coaching business for about 2.5 years now. I used to talk to people all the time about investing and kind of like how to invest and, you know, the do's and the don'ts and rights from wrongs and everything. And what I realized, you know, I was spending a lot of time doing this, and, you know, not that it's all about money, but it was like, I was taking away from some of my other businesses to do this, and it became a lot of time. So, you know, it was brought up to me that maybe I should start, you know, charging for this. And I was like, I don't know. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, man, I do really like talking about this. And I get like super passionate when I talk about it. So I did, I started a coaching business. So there's a private Facebook group where there is a ton of content. Like the last couple of years, it's a lot of videos that I've done where, you know, you learn how to analyze a deal, you learn how to walk through a property and figure out what you need to do, or how to estimate rehabs, things like that, how to find deals, how to buy without your own money, all sorts of different things. And so, you know, it's basically kind of like a vault of all this content, all these videos, and then it's a community too. So the group, it's awesome. Especially lately, there have been so many deals coming together within members of the group. So whether it's, you know, equity partnerships, or it is, you know, partnerships on selling properties or flipping properties or whatever. That's one thing that I take a lot of pride in with this group, is everybody is very, very involved. It's completely a community. But then the other thing that I do, and honestly, I still have yet to find another real estate coaching program that does this, is I do one-on-ones with people. So I actually will meet one-on-one. A lot of times it's Zoom because it's just easier that way. But we'll meet and we literally go into people's businesses step by step. So, you know, because everybody's different, right? So like, just because I have my ways of buying and holding, you know, Preston, doesn't mean that, like, if you bought rental properties, doesn't mean that we would have the same exact strategy. So that's why I dive deep into every single person's business and help them, like, okay, first of all, let's set up your business, you know, let's go through the first steps of setting that up. But then also now let's figure out how to run your business. And does it make sense for, you know, for you to have an assistant, or for you to have a, you know, to do your own marketing? You know, there's so many different factors that go into a real estate business. And so I figure out what is the best situation for every single person. You know, some people have more time than money. Some people have more money than time. And that makes a big difference too in everybody's business. So I do, I make sure that it is designed specifically per person, not just in a group setting. And so I love that part about it. I get to know a lot of people. A lot, like I said, a lot of deals are done. I love seeing people progress from the time that they start, you know, and then after 30 days, after 60 days, you know, after 6 months. And it's incredible to see how much people grow and what their businesses are and all of that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a great group. And also the other thing that I take a lot of pride in is when you sign up with me, you get my dream team. So, you know, it's taken me 5 years to build this, you know, and really figure out who I work well with, who works well with my group and all of that. But I've got a real estate attorney. I've got a property manager. I've got insurance agents, contractors, lenders, all sorts of different things. So when you sign up with me, you get all of that too. So it's like, literally, you could start by not knowing a single thing in real estate, and I will give you every single resource that I use to make you successful.
Definitely. And I can speak firsthand. I just joined this group 3 weeks, maybe a month ago. And I can speak firsthand that this group is awesome. It's seriously more than I could have ever asked for. But I will be honest, the whole Facebook situation, I'm a boomer on Facebook. I'm like trying to find files and stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea how to find it. It takes me like 15 minutes. I feel like my mom trying to work Instagram or something. I'm like, what is going on?
That's funny.
That is funny. And that's another reason I do the one-on-ones too, because not everybody does the whole Facebook thing. And, you know, it's designed to work for you. It's not necessarily designed to work for me. You know, just because something is easy for me doesn't mean it's going to be easy for you. So I do try to make sure everything that I do is just, it caters to each individual person.
Definitely.
That's awesome. So I have a question just about your entrepreneurial mindset kind of aspect of this. So you've said multiple times, you love what you're doing now. You obviously, you know, you liked what you're doing before. Now you actually love what you're doing. You hear the saying, you know, all the time, you know, I'd say our demographic for our podcast is mainly college kids. I'd say we have get a lot of like a college audience, so, you know, people eventually going to pursue their, hopefully their careers and their dreams and stuff that they're into. You hear the saying that, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. Do you feel someone that our age, or, you know, if someone's looking to, you know, do something later on with their life, do you think they need to always love what they do? Or do you think people can get by without loving what they do because it just produces a damn good paycheck?
So, you know, because I've done it a few different ways. So, you know, I've worked full time for corporate America. I've worked part time, been a stay at home mom, and I've owned my own businesses. And I will say I am absolutely happiest owning my own business and being in full control and truly loving what I do. And I do feel that when you love what you do, the money does come. So, yeah, you could, and trust me. In fact, this is total proof. I know several people that they make six figures a year. That, you know, they make way more than enough to, you know, to sustain. And they want more. They literally want more out of life. Like, they are not truly happy. And I see it. And there, a lot of these people come to me to learn about real estate. They want that passive income. And that's the big thing with real estate too, is like, okay, so yeah, you can work your entire life and build for this. And I'm sure you guys have probably seen memes like this or whatever on social media. Like, you can work your entire life and, you know, build your retirement from working, but then, you know, I don't even know what the retirement age now is. It's like damn near 70.
Yeah, it's and gonna be 80 by I the mean, time we're there.
Yeah. Like, and no offense. I mean, trust me, I know that there are very healthy 70-year-olds, even 80-year-olds, but, you know, you get up there in age, how much more do you actually have enjoy to truly do right the things you want to do? Right. Like, I love traveling. I love seeing different things and whatnot, but it's like, all right, well, do I really only want to do that when I'm 70? No, hell no. I want to do it now. Like, I want to go to the beach. I want to go do fun things, you know? So, I think the money absolutely comes when you truly love what you do. Now, don't get me wrong. And I say this all the time. I say this to everybody in my group all the time. Like, real estate is a roller coaster and it never goes according to plan. And I used to get upset about it. Like, and don't get me wrong. Sometimes, like, I'll yell or whatever, and I'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. But it's, you get used to it and it's just the reality of it. Now, if I was sitting there still at my desk job, again, don't get me wrong, it's not that I hated my job or anything, but like, I can't imagine sitting at that desk for, you know, 30 more years and going into the office doing the same thing over and over and over again. Now, again, I'm not like downplaying anybody's job or anything like that. There are some people that they love that. They love coming home knowing that they don't have to worry about work or anything like that. And that's fine. But I am not that person. I am that person. Like, my day's got to be different every single day, you know? And that is one thing that I do love about it. Like, today I went to this breakfast thing at my daughter's school. And then, like, some things happened in my real estate business where it was like, crap, I got to drop everything I'm doing and I got to go do this. But I can do that, you know? So it's not like, oh wait, I work this other job and I can't do it until I get out of work. So for those people that are, you know, younger or in college or whatever, and, you know, you feel the same way that I've described, like, just, you don't know that you can continue doing this. And like, you truly do get discouraged in life. You're like, I don't want to do this. I hate waking up every single day and going and doing the same thing. And I'm miserable. You know, maybe explore different options. I'm not saying be crazy like me and up and quit your job. I'm very thankful that I absolutely love what I do, but there could be something else out there that you love more and that is going to make all the difference in your life. And again, when you love what you do, you're more willing to work harder and make more money, you know? And the one thing that I do always say to people too is, I used to be in a position where I had a set income. And even if I took on more expenses, it didn't matter. There was no way around it. Like, unless I got a second job, I couldn't make more money. Everything always had to fit within that certain amount of money. And now it's like, okay, well, if I have an added expense, I have, you know, I have to pay something else, or, you know, get a new car, or the kids have something or whatever. Now it's like, okay, well, let's figure out, what do I need to do in order to make that amount of money? And, you know, I'm not saying it's like, oh yeah, I could just make an extra $100,000 this month. Like, but yes, I'm in complete control of what I make. And that's the nice part about it. You're in complete control of how much you make, and you're in complete control of how much time you spend where. And my number one priority right now is spending time with my family. So I make it to where I spend time with my family because they're little and they still actually want to be around me. But in a few years when they don't want to be around me, I mean, that gives me even more of an opportunity to do more and maybe even make more, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, I love what I do, and I think the money comes. I think that, yeah, you could sit there and not fully be in love with what you do and make a lot of money, but the reality is, and I've seen it, it's not going to make you happy.
Definitely. Not real estate. I don't know. Not this, that, or the other thing. What is your biggest advice to someone that wants to be an entrepreneur, but like is scared to take that first step?
Yeah, I would say two things. One is you just have to do it. Like, you do. But two, I would say that kind of couples with that is find a mentor. And honestly, it makes all the difference in the world, because if you have somebody that can give you advice, like, it really truly helps. I've got a few mentors that, you know, like, my business was successful and everything. I made more money than I did at my corporate job, and that was great. But then once I actually started like really getting into masterminds and things like that, that's when I saw things scale. And it's because it changes your mindset. Like, it really gets you thinking on the right path. And then when you see real people that are doing this same thing, then that's like, oh my God, it's like a light bulb goes off. One of my mentors he's definitely younger than me. I think he's like 28. And he started when he was 22, and the guy is
You're not younger than 28?
No, definitely not. But thank you. but so he started when he was 22, and I mean, he's a multimillionaire. Like, he's amazing. I met him a few years ago. I actually met him on my daughter's birthday, and he just changed my life. Like, every time that I think about something, I'm like, Oh, Austin. Like, if he can do it, then why the heck can't I do it? And that's not like a bad thing to say, but like, he's so much younger. I mean, he started when he was so much younger. Like, he's just an inspiration. So for those starting out, like, find somebody that's a real person, first of all. Like, I get YouTube and stuff is great, but like, find a real person that you can connect with and that you can meet and talk to. I mean, there are groups out there that aren't just specific to real estate. There are business groups out there and stuff like that. And actually, Preston, you know, my fiance, Steve, he owns a business mastermind. So like, that's a great one for young people to get started in, because it's not specific to one business, but they can learn how to build their business. So, you know, maybe someone listening doesn't want to be in real estate, and that's totally fine. So find something else that you want to do and that you are passionate about and start doing that. But do it the right way by finding a mentor. So, you know, hooking up with Steve and his group or something like that, so that they can be shown the right way. Because that's I would say that's a big problem with college students right now, is you don't learn how to, you know, you don't learn how to manage your money. You don't learn how to start an LLC. Like, you don't learn how to do any of that. And I think that's a big, big downfall in our world right now. And so you got to find people that know how to do that and can help you with that. And, you know, I think it's awesome that he started something like that, because even when I started my business, I had no freaking clue about any of this stuff. You know, like I'll just start a business and see what happens. You know, I wish when I very first started that someone taught stuff like that.
Definitely. Wow.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's awesome. That's really, I mean, it's good to hear, especially like being as young as we are, kind of, you know what I mean? Like like you just said, he started at 22, 28, multimillionaire, crazy thing. Do you think a jealousy factor plays in with some people? Like, do you think some people don't like him because he's so successful? Cause he's, you know, and he's so young.
100%. I see it all the time. Like, no joke. Someone posted, it was funny because I know another guy that he runs a real estate mastermind. And so he's got, you know, students and everything under him. And so he had posted a picture, I guess, of this car. And honestly, I'm not a car person, so I don't even know what the heck kind of car it was. I just know it's a very, very expensive car, you know, like a really nice sports car. So posts this picture of himself in it. And even said something along the lines of like, one of his students showed up in this car, da, 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 whatever. Someone posted on there and it was some arrogant comment about, oh yeah, well, I can see that you can afford this, but can normal people like your students afford this? And it was like, well, hold on. This is his student, that it's his car, you know, and there's always going to be haters. Like when I started in real estate, like I had a lot of people that they dogged me. I mean, they told me that I was not going to go anywhere with it, that I made a huge mistake leaving my corporate job. So I'm actually not at my, my office. I'm in my home office right now, but if I was in my office, I have a sign, that hangs behind me and it says, hustle until your haters are hiring, or hustle until your haters ask you if you're hiring. And I've always loved that quote. Yeah. Because it's like, you're always going to have haters and, you know, you're going to have public haters. You're going to have haters that like literally hate on you that you've known for 20 years.
Probably friends with. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, well that's, you know, I recently ran into a situation that was kind of like that. And it was like, you know what? I don't even need you in my life. Like, see you later. You know, if you're going to be that negative, I don't need to be around that negativity. Like, I'm happy in my life. Don't try to bring me down because you are not happy.
Right. Totally agree with that. As kind of we're getting older, like Jarrett and I, it's like you start to realize who's really on your team and who's not. You kind of see that group getting smaller and smaller as time goes on.
100%. Yes. And that's the thing too. Like, you don't need your circle to be big. You need your circle to be like, you need it to quality versus quantity, right? So, you know, everybody always says like your net worth is your network. And I'm a firm believer of that. And that's why, you know, I surround myself with people that are like-minded. And I always try not to be the highest in the room. Like, I don't want to be, you know, I want to be in a room where I'm uncomfortable, because if I'm uncomfortable in that room, that means that I'm just continuing to grow. So, you know, like we're going to a mastermind in November here and, you know, it's a huge mastermind. There's a lot of big name people there. And I know like, I'm going to be nervous as shit, but the biggest thing is you got to step out of your comfort zone and you got to go talk to those people because you have to make a name for yourself. Again, it's kind of like a do or die thing. Like, you're either going to do this and you're going to make a name for yourself. You're going to be successful, or you can just go back to what you were doing.
Right. Definitely.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I always think that if you're comfortable, you're not challenging yourself.
Exactly. That is so true.
Routine, you can just fall into every day. And then it's like, well, you're stuck in the same spot over and over and over. What if you talk to that one more person, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
That's the big
break. Exactly.
Now I will ask, yeah. we do ask our guests kind of one broad question towards, you know, the end of our interview with them, but what's next for you? Like what's the next step? Where do you see yourself 5 years, 10 years, wherever, you know, your vision is right now? What's next for Christina?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that question. So, my biggest next step, and I'm like super excited, I'm just kind of starting to announce this, is that I am now going into the multifamily space, the commercial space. So, I have a goal to, you know, purchase an apartment building, And I'm really excited for that. Cause it's something I haven't done yet, you know? And, you know, I want more passive income, because the more passive income you have, the more freedom of time that you have. And like I said, my family is my number one, and I want to be there for everything. So passive is the way to go. And, you know, so getting into, you know, the multifamily is definitely, my next biggest step. That's big reason why I'm going to this mastermind in November. And, I mean, where I see myself is buying more multifamily, but growing my coaching, you know, so that I can share this with more people. And I'm always educating myself. So in turn, I can educate them. I can always show them, like, hey, look, here's some more ways to earn income. You know, just because this one thing doesn't work for you, well, here's some other ways that you can, you know, you can make money. So I definitely see myself building my coaching group a lot more, and then doing the multifamily space. I'm super excited about that.
Definitely. That's so sweet. That's awesome. Definitely a goal of mine one day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. And then, you know, like, once you get into the multifamily space, you can buy anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you don't have to just stick to Cleveland. You could,
right.
You know, I want a few vacation rentals. So I want to get down into Florida. I want to get, you know, possibly Myrtle Beach, like just fun places where like, I want to go and hang out too. So.
Right. Right. Definitely. Christina, where can people find you? What's the best way to contact you?
My biggest thing is Facebook. So my business page is Christina Sells CLE. So if you just go on Facebook and you search for Christina Sells CLE, you know, like and follow my page. I post everything on there. If you've got specific questions, you can, you know, message me on there. And that's the best way to get a hold of me. All my contact information's on there too. So that's probably the easiest as we're sitting here talking. Just go to Facebook, go to Christina Sells CLE. All my information's on there, and you can get a hold of me anyway that way.
Perfect.
Awesome.
I'll make sure that's tossed in the description as well of the episode. So if you're listening, you want to, you know, find that, it'll be spelled out and everything will be right there for you too.
For sure. For sure. Thanks, Christina, so much for coming on. This was a great episode, honestly. A lot of information, and I hope people take seriously. And if they have any interest, they contact you.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity, and it's been awesome talking to you guys. And yeah, I can't wait to see where you guys are, you know, with your podcast and everything, and Preston with what you're doing. Like, this is so exciting. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. Hey,
people like you that keep us going. That's for sure.
Yep, definitely.
Awesome. I love it.
Thanks, Christina.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
We are now welcoming on. This is the most random thing Kicking It Back has definitely ever done. We were going to do some over-unders. We were like, all right, we need a guest. We reached out to Howie. Howie was like, where's Cam? So now there's four of us. We're just going to debate some over-unders and a hypothetical for everyone.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's roll into the first one. Loofahs.
Underrated.
I'll say overrated, because I don't.
Howie's a bar of soap kind of guy. Straight from the 60s.
Comes in the singular box.
Yeah, don't have to wash them.
Yeah, like I would wash them.
No, you don't have to. You just throw it out after like a couple weeks. Throw like a dollar.
Yeah, I just use like a bar of soap.
you would wash your loofah.
I mean, I guess I wouldn't want to use a dirty one, you know.
I'm guilty of not like replacing my loofah.
Would you wash yourself with a dirty rag?
It's different.
It's different. Your bar of soap's dirty. You don't throw your bar of soap in the washer.
No, because it's soap. It's
the loofah's getting soap on it every day.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, I'm underrated.
They're underrated.
No contest.
Perfectly rated.
We got three unders and a bar of soap guy.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, we have record players.
They're underrated for sure. Ethan has overrated. No.
Wait. Oh,
they're sick.
Do you have one, Howie?
No. Ethan has one. They're dope. You guys have never seen those?
I have one. No, I love it.
I've seen one.
They're sick.
I have Apple Music. That's better.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah. What are you
nostalgic?
You carrying the record player around with you?
Oh, but I mean, like, you could have it like in your house, you know, for the nostalgia, correct? Or the aesthetic? you know?
Exactly. I agree. I'm with Howie on this one. I'm going underrated. I don't think they get enough appreciation.
Way overrated.
Yeah, overrated.
Like, Jared, how often do you play it? Don't you just
once in a while? It's a nostalgic kind of thing. I definitely don't use it as much as I use like a sound bar, but like if I'm in the right mood, I think it fits the setting. There's something satisfying about getting the big vinyl and putting it on. And
you got to be in a freaky mood to put that thing on.
I don't know. I just like it. I like it. I'm going underrated.
All right. So Howie's saying it's underrated because his third cousin's brother's neighbor has one and he thinks it's really cool.
No, Ethan has one.
Close enough.
A good friend of mine. That's fine.
Classic. All right. Number three, we have eggs. Yeah. All protein, no carbs.
Gross. You're just eating a baby. Overrated.
Oh, you're not.
You're eating an aborted baby.
It's so inaccurate. It's not even funny.
You're eating an aborted baby. How do you feel about yourself, Howard?
So when you eat a chicken wing, what's that?
Like,
that's just murder. That's not a baby.
There's so many
ways
that I could go with this. It's unbelievable. First of all, they're extremely healthy for you. And if you prepare them the correct way or mix it up, I would say underrated. Second of all, they're not a baby. If you had like veal or something, that would be a baby. That is like
baby.
You're equating sperm to a baby. That doesn't make sense.
I mean, that's fair.
Well, that's what it is. I mean, except that's the other way around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'm going to go underrated. I like eggs. I like hard boiled egg. I like them in all sorts of varieties.
I like how versatile they are. They can be in all different forms.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Agreed. Just like mashed up babies.
Fried rice. Everything.
No, I guess you could say we like borderline sperm.
Yeah.
Cam likes.
Always known for that.
That's not a good look for gross investments, but fair enough. Baby
eggs. No, oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
He plays the fifth.
You're a simpleton, Cameron. Start eating eggs. Grow up.
That's so good.
All right. That's good. All right.
Next one. Beef jerky.
There it is, baby. Underrated.
For anyone listening, Howie is currently eating beef jerky.
Healthy snack. Healthy snack.
All protein, no carbs. What's the go-to flavor, Howie?
I don't know. OG or deer jerky, honestly, is my favorite when opportunity arises to have some. But I don't know. I don't mind teriyaki. I stopped at this place in Medina. It's called Just Mike's Jerky. And I got garlic beef jerky, and it's unbelievable. It's really
real good. Deal. Real deal.
Got to be careful with added sugars, though. You get some carbs. You know what I'm saying? You got to be careful. You got to watch that. Oh, you watch the macros.
That was too good.
Yeah.
Howie's all about the macros, unless he's pounding.
It's a healthy snack. You know, it's a tasty treat. Fuels me up.
Yeah, it tastes good and it's healthy. Yeah, I agree. I like that. I like those arguments. Underrated.
Overrated. Sodium's through the roof.
What? What are you,
health guy?
Years old? Sodium?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll eat it whenever. It's great.
Nah, you're just trying to be controversial. I get it.
Devil's advocate.
I was all about the controversy.
Oh, I'm not afraid of it. You know that.
All right. Well, that's good for overrunners. Cam, you're on. I hope you have a hypothetical. We'll be ready to roll.
I do, but I don't have an answer to it.
Oh.
Sorry.
But would you rather go bald, like razor blade to the head, or purple hair for the rest of your life?
I mean, Howie, this has to be an easy decision for Howie.
Yeah.
He's
going bald. I don't even think he's considering
it. You're going to be surprised. You see this lettuce? You think I'm getting rid of that? No chance.
You're going purple.
Hair.
For anyone listening, I have insanely nice lettuce. There's no way I'm chopping it off. So
that's what I was thinking. He will
go purple. Hair. Fine by me. I on St. Patty's Day, I'll just hide in my basement.
I was just gonna say, what are you gonna do on every St. Patrick's Day from here on out?
I don't know. I'll just hide. The thing about Cam's hypotheticals, by the way, that makes them good is that there really is never an answer. That like that is ideal. Like, you know.
I think
I'm going bald.
Mm-hmm. I'm going bald.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a lot of work every morning, I feel like.
And imagine trying to like match an outfit with it. I mean, Howie would be all over it with the purple he's got on right now, but
yeah, that would work.
Right. Yeah. But like Cam's shirt right now, it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work.
Howie would look like the Joker.
Well, you also you also never stipulated, so you could wear a ball cap too. So,
oh yeah,
you don't have to see it all the time. So,
oh wait, now when we had you on, you know, beginning of season two, we were talking about your demographic. Do you think they would like the whole purple hair thing? Your demographic, or would you lose some clientele with some purple hair? Because I think that's a legitimate factor in this.
I wouldn't. Let me put it this way. I wouldn't lose any clients, but I would have a lot
you
of.
You wouldn't
questions.
Gain any.
I'd have a lot of questions to answer. And furthermore, if I went bald, I'd have a lot of questions to answer as well. So either way, I'd be answering some questions.
Fair. It's a fair argument. I cannot argue that.
It would be hard to pick up new clients with that kind of look, but everyone would know who you are. Look, that's the guy with the purple hair, you know? They'd remember me.
They'd be like, that
could be a marketing strategy, you know?
He might be liberal.
Yeah, would you be taking a step across the aisle with purple hair?
No.
I'm not presuming.
Oh, no.
I don't know which side you're on, Howie, but people might think you're liberal.
That's not that abundantly clear yet.
That's the sad part. Our whole listening knows which side Howie grows.
No, I like to toe the line. So
if you follow him on Instagram and he gets fired up one 7:30 morning watching Fox News, you know which side he's on.
No, it's not really Fox News. They're a little... they're a little too middle for me. I like Max. I get my news from like Candace Owens, Andy Frisell. I don't listen to the mainstream folk, you know?
No.
I don't trust them.
I like that mug you got.
On either like side. Yeah, you like that? Represent, baby.
Yeah. It's good, Yeti.
So, is everyone doing hypothetical or is just Cam?
No. Just Cam.
Oh, you gotta come up.
Yeah, one. Yeah, you got one.
I got plenty of political hypotheticals.
And we're good right there. Thanks for coming out.
Wait.
Thanks for kicking it back with Preston and Jared.
Who killed Kennedy?
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, fellas, appreciate you hopping on at such short notice. It was a good little 5-minute fun there.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Yeah, I just got a text with the Zoom link, and I was like, all right, I'll click on this.
For Howard's request.
That's right. That's correct. I wanted you on the call.
Love you, Howie. See you, boys.
Well, first of all, I want to thank Christina for coming on because that interview was beyond awesome. Honestly,
yeah.
A lot of great knowledge out of that.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, like we said, like if you're just a business owner, you could be anything. You know, if you feel you have a story that needs to be heard or you want it to be heard or you think someone might benefit from it, just reach out to us. We're not looking, you know what I mean? Like, we're just looking for some content, for some fun people. Christina was awesome. She was willing to give us some time. We sat down, had a good conversation, got to pick her brain. I'm excited, man. I love interviews like that, especially when you don't know the person, you get to know them in the interview. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, definitely. If anything she said intrigued you or sparked an interest in the world of real estate, reach out to me and I will happily get you guys connected. She's an awesome person, really driven, motivated, as you can tell from the interview. A lot of great opportunities there. I can personally say that I'm in that group that she runs, and the last month has been way more than I could have ever asked for, and super excited to roll with that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for you. I think she's awesome. I mean, she's just wanting to help. I love people like that. I think that's one of the coolest things. Now, I'm just going to say mainly about motivation. There's a lot of different ways. Motivation, you say the same thing, it's said differently. And I think that's what's really cool about it. I think she's got a really cool platform on how to help people. Like, she found a way that's working for other people and working for herself. So I love that. I just think that's super cool.
Definitely.
But yeah. And then we had some fun with Howie and Cam. Shout out you guys. I mean, it was a little chaotic. You probably were annoyed if you were listening. Whatever. We had fun.
Yeah.
Good little 5 minutes there.
Yeah. I mean, you probably laughed at some point. So did its job.
Howard's a goofball. So is Cam. So yeah. Good group.
Yeah, for sure.
Perfect.
For sure.
All right. Little song of the week action. Another good one. I told you I have a list. It's in my pocket. It's been ready to roll. This week we got In Bloom by the Good Husbands. Oh, man. You're going to love this song. I'm already excited to hear it at the end of the episode. Just so mainly because I don't have to hear Preston's voice anymore. But I'm telling you, In Bloom, the Good Husbands, great song. You know I'm playing Preston. Let's roll. Great song.
Oh, I know you're kidding. Jarrett calls me and just says, hey, can you talk? I just like listening to your voice. I'm like, sure.
I just really like hearing you.
Like, what do you want me to talk about? Anything?
I just read me a little story or something. Yeah. Just Morgan Freeman, that thing. Anything you say sounds peaceful to my ear.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Too good. Hey, Preston, did you know the national animal of Scotland is a unicorn? P-Dog, take us out.
Thanks for kicking back. That's a new day. They can't see the stars I see. It's night and day. Wish things would go my way. And of course, the most to blame I am. I keep moving on, my baby, right till I die. Hey! Yeah, right on, I got my name on this. Wishful thinking, and I came with a gift. Whisked on it like I've been up all morning. Whipping a dish, blow a kiss to your point.